Hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Prioritizing, a married couple's faith-based insight into what is most important in education, in marriage, and in life. And we are that missing in action married couple. It's been a while since we've been here, but we'll get to that in a minute. I am Michael Pryor, joined by my much better half, Samantha Pryor. We've been on a bit of a hiatus lately, as I'm sure some of you have noticed, all three of you that listen to the podcast regularly. We have been in the process of moving. So we have been setting our own priorities and realizing that this needs to go on the back burner, and which is surprising because I think we've mentioned in every episode, it's been summertime and teachers have nothing to do in the summers. They have no work. They just sit and they go to the beach and that's all they do. Isn't that right, Samantha?
That is right. Although our summer has turned incredibly busy before we could even know it.
Before we could even know it. You got it right there. So we've been dealing with a lot of different things, and for those teachers out there who are listening, any piece of advice that we can give you is if you're ever going to get married or if you're going to move, do something big, do it in the summertime when you have more freedom with your schedule, because we're overwhelmed as is. We've been overwhelmed for the past couple months, and we could not imagine having to do this during the school year. So take our advice.
Oh, definitely not. It's been incredible and exciting in a very good way, but I can't imagine having had to move with the hubbub of starting school and getting to know your students as well.
There's a word you don't hear every day, hubbub. All right, vocab check. And Samantha is now teaching, what grade are you teaching now, Samantha?
Second grade, a big change.
Very big change. So she went from fifth to second, she's teaching second. Big sacramental year for all those Catholic school teachers out there. Receiving their first reconciliation and their first Holy Eucharist. And for those of you who are not Catholic school educators, first reconciliation is confession. You go to the priest, you tell him all your sins, and Holy Eucharist is receiving the body of Christ for the first time. Little Catholic education lesson for you. So moving on, today we are touching on the topic of humor. Humor. How do we incorporate? Now we touched on the first weeks of school and how to make sure your class is up and running smoothly. But there's one way that you can do that effectively, and that is with use of humor. Wouldn't you say, Samantha?
I would. I think that it's really important to go in with strict expectations and setting the rules clearly for your students, but also establishing an environment where they feel like they can trust you and find some excitement and interest, some common ground with their teacher.
Yeah, absolutely. And how would you use that? And I say you, because all you teachers out there, you are uniquely humorous, sometimes to your students, sometimes to your colleagues, and sometimes maybe, like in Samantha's case, just to herself. And this is those were her words. She said that before the podcast began. She goes, I make myself laugh. And that's okay, because as an administrator, I know that a happy teacher is an effective teacher. Isn't that fair to say, Samantha?
I would say that's definitely fair. And I think, too, just recognizing your strengths, for me, humor is not one of them with a large crowd of people. However, I do make myself laugh very much. So I think starting out the year, having humor with your students and having more of a lighthearted demeanor.
So with respect to humor, we know humor is an effective tool, and I'm sure so many teachers use it. I hope you use it. If you don't, you know, get on that train. It'll make your your job a lot more enjoyable. I'm sure it's already enjoyable. You get to educate our youth, and the future of our nation is in these kids' hands, and you are in control of that. You go to any leader, any effective CEO, anybody in the corporate world, in the private or public sector, you ask them who are some of their most influential characters in their lives. I bet all of them will mention at least one teacher. So will that teacher be you? Hopefully it'll be all of you. Now we feel one way to get you closer to being that influential character in someone's life is to use humor in your classroom. And not only to just use humor, but use it appropriately. All too often, you see students even being that jokey guy. And jokesters are fun. You know, I love the funny guy in the classroom, the funny gal in the classroom. But sometimes you run across kids who joke too much. And you even see that with teachers. They're always joking with the kids, always, always. And they're even tying in sarcasm sometimes. Now, although with the older kids especially, sarcasm sometimes can connect with some students, too often it could be misconstrued by or perceived the wrong way by others around them. And we all know perception eventually becomes reality. So you want to err on the side of caution. And I would just say, not use sarcasm, maybe use wit or play on words, that kind of thing. That's always fun. or puns. You know, they say that's the lowest form of humor, but you know what? I love puns. They're so much fun. What do you think of fun pun Sam, they call her, right?
No, they definitely don't. I can appreciate a good pun, although I'm not so too clever at coming up with them.
What do you think of the title of this podcast, Samantha?
Humor. Let's see here. It's something that
I meant prioritizing.
Or
that's a play on.
Yeah, I got it. Okay. Humor is not something that I am naturally good at. I make myself laugh more than everyone else, although going from fifth grade to second grade has worked in my favor a lot. The kids appreciate my silly jokes and my wit. You know, coming into second grade and having clear expectations, especially starting out the year, is so important. And they say to go into the school year like a lion, and then by Thanksgiving you can be a lamb and start smiling and show your personality. Well, I feel like it's super important to have the kids see that personality all year round. Your expectations have to follow through on the guidelines you set. And just the other day, we were talking about hallway behavior and how to walk in the hall. I started using a rubric with my students where I hold up a 1, a 2, or a 3 as they're walking down the hall. And together we created the guidelines of what a 1 means. We clearly need more practice. A 2, some students are doing what they need to do. Some students are a little distracted or could use to improve. Or a 3, where everyone is right in line with where they need to be. Our bodies are in control. And I had some second graders dancing and twirling and just kind of, you know, being young kids walking down the hall, losing their focus. So naturally, I reenacted the dancing. And there was another child coming up behind me that I did not see and just burst out laughing at my dance moves in the hallway as I was talking to my kids about what you do and what you do not do in the hallway. And I just think the rest of my class kind of smiled and I called him out and I said, "Oh, you like those dance moves, huh?" And he just kind of nodded at us and goes, "Yes, Mrs. Pryor." But using humor as a way to set expectations and as a way to reinforce what you're talking about and to find a common ground with your students can be so valuable.
And you know something? I don't know a kid who I've ever encountered in school who doesn't like to laugh. And just like the teachers who are more effective when they're happy and enjoying the environment they're in, the students too, they're going to like coming to your classroom if they're always on the edge of their seats wondering when, you know, their clowny teacher Mrs. Pryor is going to bust a move or going to tell a bad knock-knock joke. And it's just a way to keep them, even in the most difficult of lessons, if the kids are, you know, they still have a smile on their face, they're still willing to do what you need them to do because they're enjoying your company. And the greatest way to have someone enjoy your company is if you're a comedic person.
Definitely. And many of us teachers have class pets or at least class mascots. And this year in second grade, we have a flying monkey, which I think just finding a way to, as Michael had said, continue to keep that wit going. You know, whether you're throwing a stuffed animal monkey around your room for participation or having a class fish where they create the name and they can laugh and create tongue twisters to go with those things where they can feel ownership over their classroom as well as finding that laughter.
You mentioned tongue twisters and it made me think of something. Towards the end of the school year in my last year teaching second grade, when the students were kind of acting up and talking too much in class, I would make them come to the front of the room. And part of this was because we were working a lot on public speaking and standing in front of a class and how to present to an audience. And on the flip side, having the students be active listeners. But I would have them read Fox and Socks. They would have to read pages of Fox and Socks out loud to the class. And it would take about 10 seconds before the student was, you know, fouled up and was slipping up over all the words. And the rest of the class would just start bellowing, laughing. And it didn't get to the point, I made sure it didn't get to the point where kids were wanting to get called out, but it was something that they got the point, and it wasn't punitive, and it wasn't embarrassing either, you'd think, putting the kid on the spot. If it was the kind of student who was shy and was talking to a friend, I wouldn't do that, of course, but that's another thing that goes back to having that connection with your students. You have to know all your students and what can they handle. If some students can't take a joke because they're sensitive, or some students, if you say one joke, they're going to rattle off 50 and be wound up for the rest of the day, then you have to know how to balance that with those kids. And there are times, too, going back to that tactfulness, when it's, you know, not appropriate, even if you're feeling lighthearted and the kid makes an innocent, lighthearted joke, like if you're, for those Catholic school teachers out there, if you're on the way to Mass, that's not a good time to be joking around with your prayer partner or with your teacher. So just having them understand when it's appropriate, and that's up to you, the teacher, to kind of reinforce that and kind of go over and over and over it. And it's the first couple of weeks of school, so what better time than now to rehearse and rehearse and rehearse?
And there's so many things that I think as teachers and adults that we expect can come naturally to the kids. However, knowing the appropriate times for humor is such a big one that it is our responsibility, Michael, as you had said, to teach them when it's an okay time, how to read those social cues, and how to incorporate the lighthearted laughter into our classroom routines.
Yeah, right on the money, Samantha. And I was thinking of another way to do it, and I did it. It dawned on me as I ended my last little spiel there. Voices. You know, you can be teaching the lesson and still be staying on the content. You're not deviating from what you're supposed to be teaching at all, but you're just doing, you're presenting in a different voice. If you're doing a small group reading or you're doing guided reading, maybe it's just different voices, and it gets the students who are kind of losing it to focus on why is he doing that? Why is he talking like he's from Australia or from England? Or actually, I can't really tell the difference between them. Can you? Yeah, maybe I can. Anyway, they're comparable. And I guess those are the only two accents I really have, isn't it? I don't have any other ones.
No, you're good at every accent you do.
Yeah, but those are the, that may be so, but that's all I got. And I wouldn't say good at it. Those are the only two that I try to do to make myself laugh. Anyway.
And to build off what Michael's saying with changing up your voice, read alouds are a great way to do that. Currently, in second grade, we're reading Pippi Longstocking. And I find myself changing the voices of the different characters, acting things out as I'm walking around the room. You know, having your students do that too. They talk about how Pippi is so strong she can lift a horse over her head, and having the students stop in the read aloud, check for understanding, acting out the parts of the story in a controlled environment where they can appreciate it, but still not go crazy as well. And it keeps that interest and that humor in what you're doing.
Humor. It all comes back to humor. Have a good time. You know, you're doing one of the best professions, actually the best profession there is. It's the most rewarding, and it's one of the most fun, to be honest. So enjoy yourself doing it. And if whatever kind of humor you have, introduce it to your kids, because if they like you enough and you have that connection with them, they'll warm up to it, even if it's dry, even if it's dull, even if it's doing lame dance moves in the hallway like Mrs. Pryor. One thing that comes to mind is it's an activity. It's not really humor from the teacher perspective, but it's a fun activity that the teacher introduces to the kids so then they can kind of have their own fun with it. What you do is when you're trying to teach the students, especially in second grade, it's great. First grade, second, third even. When you're trying to have the kids read with expression, whether it's in plays or any kind of reading, what I would do is I have a big foam dice, and I'd put 1 through 6 on the smart board or active board or the chalkboard, whatever you have. And I would have the students choose 6 different expressions, whether it's sad, angry, or if we're older grades, I might have them say nervous or a bit more advanced vocabulary than happy, glad, sad, mad. You know, that's what you'll get at like the first grade level, which is fine. But then as they would roll the dice, and then when it's their turn to read, they would have to read whatever passage we're reading in the tone that the number queued up to on the board. And it's just really fun, and it takes about 2 seconds for the kids to start breaking out laughing, but it teaches them how to read with expression, and it makes them focus a bit more on what they're actually reading. And then we go over it, and we say, now does that make sense? We're talking about someone who just won the lottery, and they're reading it like they're sad. Like, with that, does that make sense? And they're kind of making the connection. No, that doesn't make any sense. So then it makes them more aware of what they're reading and how they should be reading it. And it's funny. It's funny. Ha ha.
And Michael, I'm so glad you brought that up because I made a mental note of that as well. As teachers, you know, we always say to beg, borrow, and steal good ideas. And I'm very fortunate enough to have such a resource in my house that has previously taught second grade. And that's something I can't wait to do with my students this year as well. You know, just being able to find ways to make the learning interesting, to make the kids want to be there.
Absolutely. Because when they want to be there, whether they're, you know, your high-flying student or the student who has a lot more opportunity areas, they're enjoying being in school. And that's step one, because what happens all too often is the kids who are struggling readers, they get shipped back to the back table to work with the instructional assistant or the classroom aide, and they do one-on-one reading while the rest of the class is doing a fun activity. And then their interest in school just slowly declines, and then that they slip through that proverbial crack. And you can't give up on the kids. And one way to ensure and let them know that you're not giving up on them is to, you know, joke around with them, have a good time, and let them know that, you know, you care enough about them to want to make them laugh.
And Michael, you bring up such a good point about letting the kids know that you care about them. And it all goes back to what you mentioned earlier about starting off the year and setting those routines and those expectations, but also allowing the kids to know that you're allowed to have different strengths and different weaknesses, and incorporating humor into getting those messages across. You know, we read The Mixed Up Chameleon this year, which is all about a chameleon that wants to be like all the zoo animals, and he tries to be like everyone else and all the different animals, and then he ends up completely distorted. And my class was hysterically laughing at the story, which is new for me this year too, to have that innocence and the humor. But just allowing them to appreciate that we all have different strengths and different weaknesses, and establish those guidelines to be successful.
I bet your class sounds like it's a lot of fun.
They're amazing.
Yeah, and Samantha switched schools this year, and she has about 10 more kids than she's accustomed to, so that's a bit overwhelming for her. But it sounds like you hit the ground running, so they say. One thing I wanted to point out too: your humor that you use in the classroom doesn't always need to be, you know, shouted out to the back row or projected to the back row, as they say. It can just be subtle humor. When students were doing show and tell, if one student was up, I'd go and sit at that student's desk, and naturally in second grade, I can't fit at that desk, so the desk would be rested on my thighs. And it wasn't all the kids would bellow out in laughter and interrupt the person who's going, but it was like, oh, look at, like, what's that? What's Mr. Pryor doing? And they'd sometimes, by the end of the year, I'd get an eye roll, or he's at it again, and then just ignore it. But it's ways to, and show and tell is a bad example, because I wouldn't do it during show and tell, because then I would be stealing the spotlight from the kid who's showing and telling. So yeah, that's not when I would do it, but you get the idea. Little things like that where I'm just kind of looking to see who's savvy enough to be paying attention to what's going on. But again, with that tactfulness, knowing not to, oh, look at Mr. Pryor, he's doing the thing. They just know to, he's, look at him, he's being weird again. And then move on. And it keeps that smile on their face, even if it's not, you know, they don't always need to be slapping their knee. You know what I mean, Samantha?
I do. And naturally in your class, you have a diverse needs of students and of interests. And you're always going to have kids that pick up on the more subtle humor and kids that pick up on the more blatant humor. And I think that's what makes it so interesting, is you can be teaching in the front of the room and say a very dry comment. You have those few kids that will look at you and give you that attention and start laughing. And then you can do other things that will capture the interest of other students, and to keep a variety in your instruction.
When we start doing homophones towards the end of the year, that's when it gets a lot of fun. Because doing the play on words things and using different uses of the word to or male, and using them in sentences and seeing which kids catch on to what I'm saying, that's where the students with the more developed humor, and that usually the only children have a lot of that, just because they're around the adults all the time, so they're probably exposed to that kind of humor. Or I can always tell when the parents use humor a lot in the household, because those are the kids who are either the ones making a joke every 5 seconds or the ones who are picking up on those subtleties. And it's a lot of fun.
And there's, for me, there's nothing better than that. Seeing that student smiling subtly back at their desk, yeah. Knowing politely that, oh, I don't want to laugh and distract everyone else, but I get what you're saying, and it's enjoyable.
It certainly is. So teachers, if you can take one piece of advice from us from all of our podcasts, and they will be regular again, by the way, we will be back every week. What, I don't know what accent that was.
I don't either.
I rolled my tongue a little bit, but it didn't roll. Anyway, I'll use my radio. We'll be back every week, and catch us every Thursday right here, Prioritizing Podcast. You can check us out on iTunes. You can also follow us on... Actually, no, you can't follow us on... I almost said follow us on Twitter, but we don't have a Twitter. I have a Twitter account. You can follow me on Twitter if you want. I'm at MikeyBlueEyes27. MikeyBlueEyes. Is that my Twitter?
27?
Yeah. Why did you question the number?
That I don't know. 27 isn't your usual number.
No, it isn't. So MikeyBlueEyes27, if you want to follow me, I post stuff. It's not a personal account. It's more professionally based. So if you care to follow me, then go ahead. If you follow me, I'll call you Uncle Cracker. You see, if you were in second grade, you probably wouldn't get that joke. But if you're my wife who's sitting next to me and eye-rolling, you will get that joke. For those of you who don't know, Uncle Cracker was a one-hit wonder from the 90s, and his song was Follow Me. Right, Samantha?
Yes.
So that was the joke. See what I did there? Anyway, use humor, folks. Be funny. And if you're not funny, be funny anyway, because the kids think you're funny. Because they like you, and they want to be at school. So one way to help them be at school is to what, Samantha?
Be funny, even if you're only laughing at yourself.
That's my wife. There it is, folks. So tune in next week. We're happy to answer any questions. So if you have a topic, we've had two topics sent to us in the meantime that we're going to cover next week and the following week. If you have something that you think needs to be, we should cover, or something that you'd just like to hear more about, feel free to shoot us a message. And we're here to help. I mean, we know a lot of you teachers out there have a lot more experience than we do, but we're all offering just a different perspective. I'm sure we can learn a lot from you and vice versa. So if there's anything you think you'd like to hear more about, let us know, and we're always willing to help. So take care. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
Farewell. Cheerio. Toodaloo. Ta-ta. What else you got?
Adios.
Adios. That's it.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Oh, my gosh.